Thank you. So with the last share 2 weeks ago, we talked about turning on and off electricity without other malachos. Today we'll broaden the discussion to, again, with the advancement of technology, we now use technology to do almost everything differently than it used to be done, and that causes all types of questions in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. And I would like to sort of break down the question into, I'd say, 7 or 8 different type of questions that need to be analyzed before we figure out if something is permissible or not. Question number one is whether or not the way that it's being done now does constitute a malacha. Lamashal, and this is not what I want to talk about right now, but for example, they used to speak about the incandescent bulb. Was that fire or not? Is it a malacha of havara, lighting a fire? So is that considered a fire? Or, lamashal, if I'm cooking with a microwave, is that still considered bishul? That has to be analyzed on the halachos of Hilchos Bishul. But so another, and today we'll talk more about ksiva particularly. But the first question to ask is in terms of the malacha that's being done, and possibly does it still fit the criteria of that particular malacha? So that's issue number one. Issue number two that we're going to have to figure out is, again, as we spoke about last week, we'll get back to turning on and off electricity itself, what that involves. That's going to be relevant again. Number three, in other words, even without any other malacha, we'll also have to talk about how long is whatever happening, something that's just fleeting, it's going to go on and off, or does it have a lasting effect? Is it a miskayim? We'll have to analyze the halachos of whether, to what degree does miskayim have to play into being a factor in making something not be deraisa. We'll have to talk about, Mirtz Hashem, the discussion about whether or not, what is the role of your kavana? Do you have in mind to be doing this, or is it sort of happening derech agav as you're doing something else? In other words, are you machat? Is it a davar miskavein? Davar she'eino miskavein? Is it a psikresha and the halachos of psikresha that come out of it? Because again, that's very, very common to most of the way technology works. We do one thing and various other things happen at the same time. We'll then have to talk, Mirtz Hashem, about what constitutes a shinoi, am I still doing things the same way that it used to be done? We'll have to talk, Mirtz Hashem, about Hilchos Grama. And I think even in the regular hour and a half that we have, I don't think we'll be able to get to all of these topics, Kol Shekein if it's shorter. We'll do whatever we can. V'edel Zulkmar, and the rest, once you learn by themselves, Derech Agav, a lot of these things, like each of these are topics within themselves, and Sugyas Arukos, which need to be talked about. I'm not advertising with this. I have, it's like 60 some odd shirim, that's on YU Torah if you want, if it goes to that, or learning the Sugyas would probably be helpful. And Derech Agav, even besides all the aforementioned questions, even if you'll tell me that many of these situations may be permissible at the end of the day, Shiloh will be still, is it appropriate to do for Shabbos? L'mashal, if I leave on some screen showing something going on, well, a Shabbos, technically I may not have been violating anything, but is that Avsha Milsa, or does that go against the spirit of Shabbos? That's a separate issue, which will have to be analyzed separately. Now, to begin, the way I like to analyze that is we'll take us through using a security system and try to pit it. We'll use a security system as a means to get to as many of these issues as possible. So a security system constitutes many, many different issues, but one of them is that it records, take a step back, it records pictures of you. It records pictures of you. So the question is, what malacha is that? So in terms of, we said, the first thing you have to analyze is there a malacha involved, another malacha. So we consider one of the lametachas malachas, of course, is kosev, writing. And okay, so we think just because you're showing up on a computer, is that writing? So the answer may be sort of. The Rambam writes in Hilchos in Shabbos Perek Yud Beis Lach Yizayin, Roshem told us Kosev Ketzad Roshem Rishavim. In other words, if one draws a picture, that even though one didn't make a single letter, I guess a picture speaks a thousand words, so that too constitutes kosev. So, if it draws a picture, so we're now going to have to figure out is, okay, if I actually draw a picture, and I sit there with crayons like we did in kindergarten, that would be a malacha. But how about if I various forms of a security camera? So step number one is where it's your image doesn't show up on any screen, but rather it's recorded in the insides of some machine, and then later on they'll be able to see what went on, what somebody stole, whatever went on at a certain time. So your picture is there on the inside. So there, most poskim say there's no, that maybe other thing, but it's not ksiva. It's not ksiva because Shlomo Zalman, for example, writes again the discussions based on May Milin. If I have an invisible ink and I have things which could be, basically, to make a long story short, we generally assume anything which needs a machinery in order to open it. It's not like I have a special machinery to open. I don't say the letters are already there. So it's not considered ksiva yet. And so just simply the fact that it's recorded in the insides of the camera, inside of the computer, that wouldn't constitute ksiva. Where it gets more interesting, on the other hand, let's just take the other extreme, would be to print. Printing, lechora, that if I want to print, that probably is regular ksiva. And the middle case would be where you're showing up on a screen. And that's relevant to, number one, your picture's on the screen, but it's certainly, I don't think most of us use pens and pencils anymore. Now, most of the writing that we're doing is everyone sitting here on this with computers. So this has extreme relevance. So whenever somebody is typing onto a computer screen, are they technically being over on the Lechas Kosev? Again, don't try this at home on Shabbos anyway. But it's important to know if somebody who has to write on Shabbos, a Tzolla member or something like that, then is it better to write to type things on a computer, onto a phone, whatever, than actually writing? So how does this work? So simple pshat, I would have thought it would be, I'm forming the letters, why would it not be? However, the following, there is a Shlomo Zalman, many of the Gdoli HaPoskim suggest the following, b'mevad tamlilim al yidei tzog. Basically, I'm writing, forming a text onto a screen, kiman derak al yidei yirei elektronim al chomer zarchoni asher meruach al adof and apnim yishol mesach, that he thinks they can't be ksuvid araisa. That the way the old screens used to work was they called a cathode ray tube, where they have some type of tube which would shine electricity rays onto the screen, and by doing so, the picture or the letters or whatever would be there on the screen. The newer computers, the newer screens. Are usually made with different technologies, either LED, LCD, plasma, different things. I'm sure there are newer things since I wrote this. So the question is why is there, because it's a day these rays, why is that naksiva? It wasn't only Rosh Shlomo Zalman, Rosh Shlomo Miller Shlita, many other poskim thought that this wouldn't be considered ksiva. I was very bothered by why that was. I asked Rosh Shlomo Shlita, where is everybody coming from? And Derek Agav, I think Rav Yasher is quoted as arguing. I think he thinks that there is ksiva on a computer screen. I was very, but where is everybody coming from? So he pointed me to a tshuva. Rav Moshe, who's off of Gemara in Gittin, Daf Chaf, Eksav, because of get, al gabi kippah, al gabi andochteri. If I write a get, where basically either one sold, different opinions, even irrationally, what that means, but basically where I sew letters, I put letters on top of a garment or into a garment that may not be ksiva for the purpose of Gittin. So one question is, could I learn from Gittin to Shabbos? That needs to be thought about. But Lisa, I can. For some reason, we may learn from that Gemara that part of what ksiva is when I am doing something to embed, to have a background of paper, to have some type of background, and have that those letters, that ink, be put onto that background. If I simply have letters, stam, without a background, then it may not constitute ksiva. That was what he was arguing off of that Gemara. First of all, it was at Hilchos Gittin. Can I necessarily apply it? And furthermore, so in this case, where it's basically just rays, or the screen becoming electricized, electronic images on a screen, would that constitute ksiva itself? So let me put it this way. I'm not convinced that it's not. However, I'll give you the other extreme to show that there at least there is a certain case which is mutter, and we'll have to figure out where this fits in between. Gemara speaks about, there's one case where I have my picture show up on something else, and yet it's clear in the Gemara that it's mutter. What's that? You're allowed, other than side problems of the fact that we're worried that you can end up pulling out your own hair or something like that, there's generally a heter to look into the mirror on Shabbos. When you look into that mirror, that handsome guy is usually there. So your picture is showing up in the mirror at that point. So isn't that a problem of ksiva on Shabbos? It's clear in the Gemara that that's mutter. So you have to, b'kitzer, analyze whether or not when a screen is becoming electricized, is that more dome to writing with pen and paper, or is it more dome to a mirror? And the answer is it's probably somewhere in the middle. Moving on, so that's in terms of whether or not it is ksiva itself. So another important issue in terms of, okay, let's say in terms of digital, most of the cases where we're all, again, constantly on screens all over the place. We're all movie stars. We're all over the place. We're being on cameras wherever we walk. It's always an iron row at this point. So most of the time we don't care about that, and we'll talk about that in a couple of moments. But there are going to be cases where we do care about something. L'mashal. Let's say I was giving this shiur on Shabbos, and someone set up a recording of this shiur. So would one be allowed to recording a shiur? What malacha is that exactly? Recording a shiur. In theory, the extreme version of it would be a musician would go to record a CD or something like that. So Shlomo Zalman argues that there, what malacha is it? Again, it's not exactly, it's not borer, it's not, so there, it's more than just simply turning on and off electricity. So there, I'm actually creating a new cheftza on some level. Even though physically, I had the exact same CD that I had beforehand, but now, until now, that CD was blank. That CD had nothing on it. Now that CD has a recording of whatever you wanted to be recorded. So he argued that itself Again, this sort of fits into the same type of discussion that we were talking about. This is sort of a malacha. It's not besides the turning on and off electricity per se. I'm sort of creating a new chefzo, called that binyan, called that makabe patish. There's a sense of an asiyas kli, which until now, even though, again, typically we think of an asiyas kli you make with a hammer. Here you do it, and there's a physical change in the item. Here it's exactly the same, physically you have the same CD, the same tape, the same record, but whatever it was, whatever generation you're in, then you have the same chefza, but the same chefza now has a completely new, speak my Ral terminology, new tzura. It has a completely new purpose after I now have. So that, possibly that, you're talking, that itself may constitute a daraisa. So again, usually when we're recording ourselves we're being recorded onto a camera that shows up somewhere, we're not exactly doing that. But when one's recording something on purpose, let's say they're downloading a computer, they're changing the format. So point number one. Point number two is, even within that, when do I say, okay, Bishlamai, until now I had a blank CD. So you had a blank CD, and now that musician showed up, and now he now has a recorded CD, and now he can sell it for X amount of money. But most of us, you have a cell phone. With that cell phone, you record a number, share number, I don't know, whatever number that's going to be on that. It already had 976. Now this is 977. You already took 30,000 and 42 pictures, and now this is another selfie that you're taking. So when do I say that increment is going to be a malacha daraisa? When do I say I had a kli? Did I change the kli that much, or did I do something of chashivas in order that itself is an asiyas kli? Again, I can't answer that, but there's reason to think I change if I had it incrementally. There is a concept the Gemara has in Perek Habona where chok piza v'kapoza, approximately. That means if I already have a kli and I dug it deeper, I increased the shear. Until now it was yay big, and now it's either a different size, especially if it's a qualitatively different one, that itself could constitute binyan / makab patnish. So that it's interesting in terms of recording or video, audio, and the like, that itself may constitute a malacha of some sort that still may be within binyan / makab patnish. Again, all these video and all these security systems constitute all the time hadlakas chashmal b'li malacha acheres. They're just simply, very often when I walk through into rooms, past rooms, there's often going to be a beep, there's often going to be you're going to trigger some type of light someplace that no one, a meaningless light somewhere behind. So one way to evaluate is, again, you're usually not interested in them. It's usually going to be psikresha, don't nichole, probably drabon on things, and we'll have to analyze it from that perspective. But there are going to be times where it's going to be very relevant to simply figure out, just simply the electricity itself, what's involved turning on and off electricity. That's what we spoke about last week. That's, again, whether... So if there's no chashivas per se, if the malacha is only in as much as I'm thinking about it, in many of these situations, I have zero interest in that blinking, in that light's going to go off as soon as I walk into that room, that there's going to be a small beep. Usually they're totally irrelevant. You couldn't care less. So that itself may mean that there's no malacha at all. I think that it's mistaber on some level. But on the other hand, if you do walk into a room and that causes something that you do want, that's much, much more problematic. You know, most of the rooms here, there's no switch anymore for the light. You walk in and LED lights can go on automatically. So there, if something's happening with your electricity that you taka do want, and I should have gone back a little bit. So in most of the cases, this is going to be important, in most of the cases of the cameras, security cameras, you're, again, not really interested in being seen. And this just happens to be there, and it's only there for the, if something goes wrong later on. But there are going to be cases, this is why it's sometimes going to be very important to figure out, there are certain cases where they're only going to let you in if you show yourself to that screen. Like there's going to be a security guard sitting inside, and he's or somewhere in some high place above, and they're going to look at the screen, and they'll see someone's there. They'll knock on the door or whatever, and then they'll look down, and they'll see you're there on the screen, and then they're going to let you in. So they're, on some level, one could argue, it's not simply the camera's there and you happen to be walking by. There you're sort of walking into the, you're walking into the camera in order to be seen by that camera. Again, your goal is not to be seen by the camera, your goal is to get inside, but the only way you're getting inside is to be seen by that camera. So that is going to be a little bit more problematic, and that's what we have to figure out where Hain in terms of the Ksiva component that we've been talking about, Hain in terms of all the electronic circuits that you're creating by doing so.
We were talking about the Nichol, so it's not Nichol because you don't want to be seen on the security camera. But like in most cases, you do want there to be a security camera for safety.
Right. We'll get to the psychiatric type of issues later. We'll get there. Yeah.
Camera shortage now, like being let in the building, would that be the same thing of, let's say, going to a nursing home where like you have to take your picture taken by someone?
That's what I'm saying. I think it's the same. Yeah, that's meaning there. I'm not answering, but there's much more questionable. There is what to talk about because again, it's not the same thing as simply you're walking the streets and you're always on a camera. There, you're sort of trying to be again. You're trying to get into the nursing home, but the way to get into the nursing home is showing your picture on the screen in order that they buzz you in. Okay, so Derech Agav, into one interesting last Torah, we spoke about again most of the issues of electricity itself. One of the Talmidim mentioned to me that in the Mus dorms, right? Yes, he told me. And the Mus dorms supposedly is a very interesting shiloh. Supposedly, the way it worked, when for some whatever reason it's set up that when you turn on the light, there's like a little bit of a time delay. You press the switch, you press the button. I don't know, it's a button or switch. I don't know. Switch. You turn the switch. You flip the switch, and supposedly there's a little bit of a time delay before the light actually goes on. Okay, that's what you tell me, that's what it is. So he was wondering that the following, very common scenario, and this person has to be very alert not to do this, a very common scenario is somebody, they're supposed to be aware that it's Shabbos, and if they wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, they go for a drink, they go to the bathroom, whatever, and then almost by reflex, they flick the switch. Okay, that itself is bad. But then the typical next move almost always is the next reflex almost is it's Shabbos, and you turn it right back off. So that didn't make any sense. So there is us. Obviously, the first one should have been more cognizant, but the second one is definitely us. There's no but whatever. There's no hazard to do that. But in this case, where it's interesting, what would be the better thing to do in that situation where the light yet didn't go on? You already turned the switch. So where is the malacha? Very much hinges on what we talked about last week. Is the malacha in the switch? Is the malacha in the light? Is the in electricity? And it's a very interesting shaila. Would it be better to turn it off before the light goes on, but then I didn't do a malacha? That was a very interesting shaila based on, and get into grammas, which we'll talk about later, but it was an interesting shaila based on what we talked about last week. Yeah. Issue at hand is Davar she'eino miskayim. There is a, again, in most of these scenarios, many of these scenarios, the, again, you have a beep, you have a light, or even other types of scenarios, you have a face, a, many of the usage of technology, the whole point is to sort of make it be eino miskayim. You have a faucet. You have a faucet, an automatic faucet. You put your hands under. You put your hands under the faucet, and if you put them exactly in the right spot, then the water goes. You have to figure out where that is, but the then the faucet goes on. Water comes out, and the whole point is. And I don't know what the whole point is. I'm not sure what the point of it is. It wasn't that hard to turn on faucets back. But I imagine maybe it is that they shouldn't have to touch it. Imagine also it is that the faucet doesn't stay on. Imagine they don't want the water to keep flowing. The whole point is that, pick up a number, 15 seconds, the water is going to go off. So that's sort of what they want. The whole thing is it's going to be fleeting. The whole point is you're doing this in order that the water flows, and it's, is that miskayim? So there are two sources which give you the impression, how do you know you need this idea at all? So there is the Rambam says, he's speaking in the Malach of Tzoveya, Perek Tes Malach Yud Gemo. Kol she'ein malachto miskayemes b'shabes pater. So Zot Magid Mishnah, he makes two different makoros. Either the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis, kol osa malachto malachto miskayemes b'shabes chayiv. And there's machlokus. We've shown him how to read that Mishnah, how to read that line of the Mishnah. Kol osa malachto malachto miskayemes b'shabes. So, well, for our purposes, the malacha has to be miskayemes. That seems pretty clear. The malacha has to be miskayemes. So does that mean is b'shabes is going on host of malacha, or does that mean miskayemes b'shabes? Is that what, there's a little bit of a dangling modifier? So, how long does it have to last? But either way, it seems like, and that Mishnah is speaking about either binyan amakke b'patish, probably binyan, binyan parakab bonet, miskayemes b'shabes. It has to be a miskayim. Point number one. There's another halacha, Mishnah, hakosev, is cooked down on the base. Davka bedover miskayim, adover hamiskayim. If you write with ink, which is going to go away, or on a surface, which will eventually not last, then it's not considered ksiva, at least ksiva, not ksiva daraisa. And Derech Agav, I should point this out, that even though in many of these situations there still will be Surim Drabanan, it's very important for us to know what is going to be the Reis and what's going to be Drabanan, because a lot of what we're trying to do is, again, all things being equal, we would never do this in the first place. We would never, we're going to, again, we're all Shomrei Torah, Mitzvah, we're all Shomrei Shabbos, and we're going to do whatever we can to not be involved with these things. But very often, either one of two things, either there's some type of tzorech, hatzalah, security, or something like that, which we have to know what's the raisa, what's the rabbanon, what's what. Or, simply again, it's thrown in our face right now, it's all over the place, it's so pervasive that wherever you go, these things are around us. And we sort of have to know, unless we mamish stay in our own Dalet Amos the entire Shabbos, then we're always encountering something. So we have to now figure out what's the Raisa, what's the Rabbanon, to combine with other kulos, things like Psikresha, when's it a Psikresha, the Rabbanon, and how, and other factors to know where we're holding. Now, so even we'll assume that davar she'eino miskayim, as long as it's miskayim ktsas, there's still going to be a sedar abundant. We have to know what will no longer be daraisa. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Rambam, quotes the Rambam, hakosev al besaro b'dio, with ink, chayim nishu or, believe it or not, your own skin is leather. Even though eventually a person is going to perspire and therefore remove the ink, no, that's ksav, but that's going to be wiped out, erased. And say for Maor HaShabbos, Maor HaShabbos, the Talmud of Shlomo Zalman, of Yadler, Moshe Yadler. That that's a hard read into, exactly into this, but almost always we'll say that if you write and you plan on erasing it, if you write something and you plan on erasing, the fact that you plan on erasing it doesn't mean necessarily it's not a miskayim. Without another maisa, that will be a miskayim. So why that? It's going to be important for the following. We spoke before again about the showing up on the screen. We gave that example. You're trying to go into the nursing home. In order to get into the nursing, you have to show your face on the screen. So usually what happens is that you're going to show your face on the screen and he's going to let you in, and then you're going to move. And usually you're not going to stand there and say, oh, I look great on that screen, and therefore I'm going to take the screen and therefore, you know, you take it home and hang it up on the wall. So usually you're gonna he's gonna let you in, and then it's not gonna be a miskayim because you're gonna, the screen's gonna be still be there after you leave.
What if the intention is to take the picture? Meaning you have to walk in front of like they.
But that's gonna, very good. But that's gonna, that is gonna stay where, that picture.
Let's say they print up a like a thing.
Oh, that maybe. They print
like
up
your visitor's pass, for instance, like at a hospital.
Interesting.
Printing is considered a raisa. The question is, you're having a guy do it for himself.
Right, they're doing it at that point.
You have to walk.
I don't. Does that work automatically? Does that happen automatically? I don't think that would.
I think they have to press the button.
They have to press the button. That would be a big difference for me. That would be a big difference for me. But if it would happen automatically, if it would know that you, the trigger, the person goes there, it steps on or whatever, and therefore because it steps on there, therefore it will print out your print out your picture. I like it much less. If you're doing it, you couldn't care less about the pictures. That's the guy's doing it for their own security. Then that's very interesting. No, thank you. That's very interesting. Where were we?
The camera will be miskayim.
Very good. So in that situation, right, the camera is not going to be the goal is not to leave your picture on the camera. Oh, that's so cute. I look great on that picture, and if I'm going to stay on there forever. So would that be a miskayim? So the answer could be, it could be, but on the other hand, it needs a new, you're right, that's true, but there, you're standing there, and if you wouldn't move on, that needs a new maisa to get. It needs a new maisa to do that. If the camera itself would move away or something like that, that's one thing. But in theory, it's while you're standing there, it's there, and you could be okay with it. That's another. That needs a new maisa. That's as simple. Again, point number one. Point number two is that. Sorry. There are a number of cases where the Gemara, I'll give you a couple of examples, where we see that one's chayiv, even though it's not exactly miskayiv. The Gemara speaks of. Again, we don't paskin like this, but there's an opinion of Rabbi Akiva that klutos kemisha huncha. Klutos kemisha huncha. That means, is generally, in order to be chayiv on Shabbos for Hotsa, when he's an akira and a hanacha, you have to uproot it from one rishos and be miminiachet in another rishos. So Rabbi Akiva has a chiddush that somehow if I throw something through the ear of one rishos, somehow by going through the air of that rishos, it's kemisha huncha, it's like it landed in that rishos, and there landed like it was quote unquote munach in that other rishos. Okay? We'll grant him that chiddush. But I guarantee, unless you do some unless he does some nice and nisim here, it's not gonna stay there. I guarantee it's not gonna be miskayemes in mid-air. It's floating through midair, and it's going to go from here to here and go right past here into there. So Elamite, we see that at least sometimes one's chayiv, even though it's for the fleeting moment of. That's one example. The Gemara speaks of an ayin dalet mibeis that if I have a wooden something, and by putting it into an oven, first it's going to soften and then harden, and it's going to soften first and then harden. And according to many Rishonim, what's going to happen, it's chayev mishum bishul when it's softening. Again, the whole point of this process is it's going to first soften and then harden. It's a process. And therefore, but the softening is the bishul. So we see here chayev for the bishul, even though it's not going to last. I'll give you another example. Person makes a chocolate cake. So assuming the chocolate cake is good, it's not going to be miskayim. And even if it's not good, it won't last too long either. And depending on what we mean, how long it has to be miskayim. But some certain things spoil pretty quickly. Or you light a match. A match is without lighting other things will go out pretty quickly. Chayef for a match, just simply for the match itself. So elamai, there is something called a chashivas within itself, and within those malachos, even though they're not miskayim, one's going to be chayef for them. When that is, where that is, hard to pin down, but it could be that there are certain malachos which need to be miskayim more than others. That could be a var. Maybe the Mishnayos speak about it in Ksiva, in Binyan, maybe they have to last longer. I think the Gemara speak about Binyan l'sha, havi Binyan or not. How about the Mishkan? The Mishkan itself took it apart or not. These are discussions of the Yerushalmi, Bavli, and many... we have to, the fact that it's temporary, does that matter? Maybe for those malachos. So, that point number one is we see that sometimes, again, the fact that it could be, have usage, so therefore, Lamashal, again, the example we gave, of putting one's hand under an automatic sink, an automatic faucet, that itself may be probably, again, even though the whole point of it is it's only going to last, whatever, 20 seconds while the water is on, then, and afterwards it'll go right off with that miskayim. But no, that's the whole point of this. It's that I accomplished exactly what I wanted with those 20 seconds. It's interesting, the Shvisas HaShabbos, and then, so it may come back to what we spoke about last week a little bit, 2 weeks ago, that we spoke about which, if any, malacha is involved in turning on and off electricity. So the Shvisas HaShabbos writes as follows. He's a classic sefer in Hilcha Shabbos. He quotes a Pesach HaDevir. I believe it's a Sephardi posek. Asiyas Kerach, the Daito told us to bono kimagabe, because we said making cheese is a tolda of binyan. Shocking, but that's what it says. And he thinks maybe making ice cubes would be the same thing. It's debatable, an old discussion. Not for now. Shvisas HaShabbos argues the following. No. The Einu Roy Liskayim Af Mitzad Atzma. There, ice, if you leave ice out for too long, it won't stay as ice. When we call makom, so therefore there's no way that it could be Megabein / Binyan. However, maybe, he entertains, Roy Lahavi Maka Bepatish. And he quotes a Yerushalmi, the man, the shachik tuma, vigmar malacha, grinding garlic. You have the shuvas harashba, the shayach makla pas volan, afla bo bayom, fixing ochlin, even for bo bayom, could still be makla bepatish. Ironically, we think makla bepatish maybe have to last longer, but it's so much less of a malacha, but it could be that the standards for makla bepatish are so fluid, are so. Anything could constitute it, he argues, even though it's not necessarily going to be miskayim, even though it's lebo bayom, it could still be make bepatish. So, again, having everything to do with what we were just talking, with what we're talking about, what the gather of malach, turning on and off electricity, then the more you believe it's binyan, it's the harder sell than the fact that something, it's to believe that something's going to go on and it's going to go just for a fleeting moment, that has an effect for just a very short period of time, If it is Makab the Pathish, we see there are some sources which can tell you the fact that it's a fleeting, has a fleeting effect, would not diminish it, would not take it away from being Makab the Pathish. We have some sources which are saying that. Does everyone agree? Of course not. So depending on which malacha that's involved, and I think especially if you believe something like that, the more the point of the Makab HaPatish is that you're doing something constructive. So even though, again, that force is not going to stay on, that automatic flushing toilets is not going to continually flush. That you're showing up on that screen, or all of those things are only temporary. Mikol Makom, they have the desired effect, and that's the whole point of them, to getting them to work exactly as they are. As they meant to. There are discussions how long is considered miskayim for these questions, even for ksiva. I think one of the things that some poskim, they were happy, derech agav, this has ramifications, besides Hilchas Shabbos, has ramifications for Hilchas Shemus. If you have the Shem Hashem on a computer screen, how does that work? So again, most people, many post-game are matir, probably along the lines that we say it's not really there. It's not really on this, it's not embedded on the screen. It's not written on the screen. So it happens to be there. I mean, that would cause us nightmares if every single time you have a Shem Hashem on a screen, then you'd have to, be gonaze the computer. That wouldn't be pretty. So, supposedly Rav Yashiv is machmir. A way to avoid the problem is with screensavers, that it never really is there for a long period of time, but naturally, automatically, by itself, it goes away after X amount of short period of time. And then, now, one of the most important discussions of technology, of course, is going to be psik ratio. Because the whole point of much of the way most technology is set up is that, again, it allows you to do the main thing that you're doing, yet have multiple other things go on while you're doing that. You walk in the room, and therefore the light goes on, the air conditioner goes on, and your food starts cooking. And I'm sure in 5 years some other things will happen also. So, of course, we know that Machlokas of Yehuda and Rav Shimon, whether Dovah She'enah Miskaven is Chayev or Pater. And we usually assume that it's Mutter Aser, and we usually paskin like Rav Shimon, Dovah She'enah Miskaven is Mutter. Of course, we always have the caveat that, however, Moder Shimon Psik Reisha, Moder Shimon Psik Reisha. So, seemingly, again, most of these scenarios, showing up in front of cameras and walking the streets, and therefore having the lights go on, walking into rooms and having lights go on. I mean, now I'm talking about not just. But sometimes it could be lights, a little LED light and as part of the security system, but sometimes it could be the main light for the room.
Would an automatic door be the same? If you're going through a side door?
A side door.
I mean, if you're going through a side door and because you walk...
Yes, I'll get there inside. We'll talk about that. Good. Right here. Good. So, again, one way to analyze these questions would be, again, Pashav Chat is it's usually Psik Reisha. And then you have to start asking the question of whether or not it's Nichalei or Lo Nichalei. And we know, of course, we should be familiar with the famous machlokas between the Aruch and everybody else, whether or not psik reishas, even us, there b'dolo nechol. Famous shita of the Aruch in many places throughout Shas, that the Aruch brings several proofs that psik reishas d'lo nechol is mutter. And other poskim disagree. And lahalacha, it's usually a mixed bag. We usually machmir even for psik reishas d'lo nechol. And the Chumash Hadash, and there are others who are megal psik reishas d'lo nechol, however, mid the Rabbanah. If you're talking about an Issa D'Rabbanan, the Mishnah Berurah actually, Derech Agav, before I get to the Mishnah Berurah, I remember, I assume the halakha didn't change. I remember when I was in Smicha a bunch of years ago, I remember Ray Willig used to give Shiorim about Shlita, or Shlita used to give about alarms, also maybe alarm systems and things like that. And he used to analyze the sheets of the Aruch, what shat that Psik Resha, the Dolonichle B'drabbanon would be mutter. Used to say that it was the famous Chakira of the Achronim. It's in, I think, any you name your Achron, it's in that Sefer. Chanan has it, Shmuel Rizal. All the Achronim say Kamat, all the Rishivas say that is the Pshat, based on some Rishonim, that it's Ki'ilu Yirmis Kavein. Who are you kidding? If you, that one way, of saying the reason why psik reishas is chayiv, davar shein miskavein is really mutter. However, when you're being mechavein you're dragging this heavy bench on the grass or on this area, then you're certainly making a furrow, you're certainly making a ditch. So you keilu have in mind for that as well. Well, it's keilu you're mechavein. That's one famous way. So the other way is saying, no, you're not keilu mechavein, but the two malachos are the two actions are interchangeable. The two go hand in hand. One is the other as well. So if it's keilu mischavi, it's the difference between the rice and the rabbanon. However, if the other way of saying is that if one action is intrinsically connected to the other one, then automatically, the malacha is being done, even though I don't have actual kavana for it. It could be machalik. You say based on another famous lamdish. I think that famous piece of the nesivus that he's suri drabanan. Maybe only be suri gavra and suri chafta. Maybe less intrinsic in isurim drabanan. The main problem is the rebellion against the drabanan. That's what you can understand. Lo saster that way. Okay. So based on that, if you combine the two, psik resha, b'dol nechale would generally be on a deraisa, may still be us. If you combine the two, psik resha, b'dol nechale, b'dol rabbanon, then there's room to be meiko. Okay. That was, I think, where Willig used to say it at the time. So there are those sheets. Mr. Brewer, when he quotes it, he says maybe if it's trade drab, but maybe when it's only mutter, when it's drabbanon for multiple reasons. It's drabbanon, let's say it's a shinoi, and it's also davar sheinu miskayim. And there are multiple reasons it's drab. So this is going to become important for us to figure out whether what we're talking about is drabbanon, and we're talking about is daraisa, and analyze all the things that we're talking about. Is it miskayim? Is it a shinoi? Is it a... That would be one way of analyzing this question. The other way of analyzing this question, as we spoke about last week, is that sometimes, again, there may not be any malach at all because of that. We gave one of the Aruch's classical examples, as we said, was that, again, you're pulling off the berries from the Hoshana, pulling off the berries on Shai, you can't do it on Eim Matin B'Yontif. You can't do it on Yontif itself. Misaki in Mana. So Gemara says, how could, Gemara gave an example, the person did it. No, Hasan Isle Hoshana Achriti. We had another one, he's using another Hoshana anyways. The Aruch wrote a riot from there. We see that, okay, even though you're picking it up, you're fixing the Mana. Whether you like it or not, you still made the Hoshana usable. So the Aruch brings about, you know, that we see from there that as long as it's lo nichal, you're not interested in it, then psik reisha will still be permissible. So other rishonim, right, the Ramban, they are matarits, and no, there is a different type of situation, because Hoshana, if I would today take berries, if I would take berries off today, from Hoshana, am I going to say I'm being misaking mana of a Hoshana in the middle of the end of Cheshvan? There's no mashmalos at all. I'm not fixing anything. It's not lo nichal. If I have another Hoshana, then it's not a random branch, which I'm taking berries off. The tikkun mana is only to the degree that I need it. Tikkun mana sometimes could be to the degree that I need it. So, arguably, in many of these cases, in many cases, I'm doing an objective malacha. I'm creating a fire. L'mashal, if I create a fire, fire is a fire. We'll like it or not. It's havara no matter what. But, in terms of some examples of makir b'patish, it's only going to be a makir b'patish / kli if I have interest in it as a kli. If I'm trying to do something constructive with it. If I have a meaningless LED light go on, which no one cares about, hidden in some closet, then a way to look at this is that there's simply no malacha at all. It's not just simply, it's, and again, that would be, I think, relevant to what you're asking right now, in terms of when do I say, so I think Rav Shachter himself argued something like this. I think I brought this up with Rav Shachter, and he said, but do we pass him like that, Ramban? So I didn't speak to him further, but the emes is the Mishnah Berurah seems to be machalik. He's machalik between whether or not you're dealing with a real kli. If you're dealing with a real kli, even though you're not interested in it, then he's still worried about psik reisha. If you're dealing with something like a gacheles, if you're dealing with something with a kol, which is only a kol because I want it to be a kol, which is only a tikkun kli under certain circumstances, then the Mishnah Berurah was able to be more method of halacha. I have the sources here. He was more meikal. So it could be, depending on the chashivos of whether or not there is an objective tikkun. So how do I view an LED light going off in the middle of something changing in the middle of a cell phone that no one notices? I think is nothing. A door opening. I'm more on the side that people have asked me these type of questions in the past. You're walking past the room, past the place. So if you have the opportunity to avoid it, then certainly better to avoid it. But if there's no other way to get to where you're going without passing that other door, I don't think it's a major problem.
Because there's no real tikkun kli?
Yeah. And besides the fact, or the other, either way of learning, either way it's a psik reisha de lo nichalei, probably the rabbanan, because again, you're not trying to do anything, which is miskayim and all these other things as well. The psik reisha probably was an esdravan point. That was one way to go. The other way is saying it is no malacha. The malacha would be when I'm trying to do it. If I'm not trying to do it, then there's nothing happening. So, within psik reisha, there are, okay, let's see, three different things we want to talk about now. One of them is, first we'll speak l'chumra, then we'll go l'kula, and then maybe we'll deal with the question about defining nichole. Okay, l'chumra, there are those poskim, there's the Sefer, the Shvus Yitzlag, of Yitzlag Darzi, Talmud of El Yashiv, he quotes Shlomo Zalman, he quotes many others who are very into this idea. I don't think Rav Moshe agreed with this, but there is going to be a certain fine line where it's something is not going to be, even though I'm doing one thing, it's going to be so connected to the other thing that it's not a psik reisha anymore. I'll give you an example. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel speaks of the following. Kuf Lamed Gimel speaks of, let's say a person has a saras on the makom hamila. So besides Hilchos Shabbos, we're talking out of Shabbos right now. It's usher to cut. It's a contemporary halacha cutting off saras, shomer v'neged saras. So let's say a person has a saras makom hamila. So the Gemara speaks about whether or not, why don't you cut it? You don't have in mind. It's if a person If you're not mechaving to karov, you're mechaving to do the bismillah. It should be a davar she'eino mechaving. Break the Rashba and a number of other Rishonim. What? What do you mean davar she'eino mechaving? The Isser is cutting off the Baharis. You're doing what? You're cutting off the Baharis, mamish. Just you're doing it for a different reason. Meaning, a psik ratio only gets off the... It only starts, and the need for dine psik ratio and all kulos or possibly nichole or whatever else, is when I'm not actually doing the same thing. In this case, lemashal, the Gemara, we know there's a different set of rules. Let's say a person, achofer guma in sarach al afara. Achofer guma, I'm digging a ditch, but I don't need the ditch, I only need the dirt. So digging a ditch is chayiv mishom, depending where you are. If it's in karka, then I'm chayiv mishom binyin. If it's in land, which is to grow things, then I'm chayiv mishom chorish. One or the other. But if I don't need either one, I just need dirt. So what's I should say it's a davar sheni miskavi. That's ridiculous. It's not a davar sheni. I'm a chavi to dig a hole. Elamai, there's a new set of rules. Malchus sheni tzricha legufa. That's its own discussion. So here, why? What's the difference? Because the answer is I'm 100% trying to dig the hole. I'm digging a hole. The question is why I'm doing it. What's my motivation? As opposed to when I am dragging, I'm dragging a heavy thing. So what am I doing? I'm trying to get the heavy thing to the other side. And derech agav, while I'm doing it, something else is happening. I consider them two different maisim. So at a certain point, so ask the Rashba and that Gemara of Kitzitas Beheret, why is that a psik ratio? That's not a davar she'eino mechaving, and then you'd have to ask questions of psik ratio. It's mechaving mamish. You're cutting the Beheret. And he gives several terutzim, and one of them being that, no, you're right, because there's something special about Kishomer ben Eged Tzaraas, it's only when I'm doing it for the sake of getting off the Tzaraas. Something particular to there. So at a certain point, the result, the other thing, the malacha within the psik ratio is so, they're so intrinsically linked, I'm actually doing it.
Why don't we say like by actual
psik ratio itself? So I think the answer to that question is very good. Somebody asked me that. I asked that question years ago, but the answer is that the Gemara is saying whatever this is like that. It's a mushel. It's a mushel. Psik ratio, when I'm doing something which is a secondary thing, it's like a psik ratio of alo yamas. Psik ratio of alo yamas is worse than that. Psik ratio of alo yamas is beyond that.
You're saying this is a step below?
Either below or above, depending which way you're coming from. How you look at it. It's more chomer than sick. That's what these people are, that post
gemara. And does everyone agree to this Rashba? Like, behold, this Rashba?
If you look at the Rishonim that Gemara, every Rishonim asked that question. I'm going to get the other example. That case, when I'm doing it itself, is that a psik ratio? I'm doing it just for another reason. Is that davar she'eino mechaving? It's malchus she'eino legufa. Again, that can chofer guma v'etzarach lafar. Why should that not be? That should be looked. Why is that malchus she'eino legufa? Should be davar she'eino mechaving. So that leads, and the question is how far you go with this. When there's a rivash, which is the person's cutting their hair, and they're at a certain point they're combing their hair. At a certain point, combing their hair, they. It's so intrinsic with the hair coming out, and I'm basically taking the hair out. There's a rebush in that direction, the Gemara we spoke about before, Shabbat Zayin, that Misha Shod the Sikh the Asuna Chai Misha Bishal the Mirpa Rabbi Vahadar Kamet. So, why my goal there is to try to harden the thing. But first, I'm Chai Misha Bishal. So, why don't I say, that's a Dabar Shayna Miskavin? I'm really trying to harden it eventually. Right, it should be a davar she'eino mechaving / psik ratio. It should be in choreh lo nichole even. I don't want it to soften first. This that it cooks in the middle should be a davar she'eino mechaving, and should be totally in the rules of psik ratio. So elamai, I'm doing it mamish. I'm putting this piece of wood in the oven, and since my goal is to harden it, I know that along the way that it's going to be softened, I'm actually softening it. That is what I did. It's not... Sikresha is when I'm trying to get to the other side, and derech agav, something's happening. It's not the maisa that I'm doing itself. How to draw that line is... This is now these posts I'm about to say, I think they may have taken this idea away but this is the Gdolei HaPoskim, a closer Shlomo Zalman arguing this way. Back in the day where there used to be telephone booths. You guys still remember them? There's a telephone booth. This is my silver thing. Okay. So it used to be, you walk into a telephone booth, then the light would go on. It's in order to... And when you open the door, the light would go on. Poskim would argue that I always thought, and one, even the old refrigerator door shiloh, which we generally assume to be a psik reisha, you're opening the door in order to get the food, and derech agav, the light's going on. There are poskim who argue that especially if it's metuchnan lekach, it's set up in a way where... I guess there is a switch, but I'm sure there are some rooms that don't even have a switch to the light. I don't even know where it is. The way to open the door, the way to open that light is by opening the door and going in. So you're going to say that's a psik reisha? That's the way to open the light. Again, you're not going into that room to open the light. That would be silly. You're going into the room to go into the room, but that's the way to open the light. So at a certain point, if something is arranged for that purpose, it becomes, am I going to the room and derech agav, the light's going on? Or at a certain point, I'm going in in order to do everything that goes on, that happens when I go in, including opening the light. I'm doing multiple things. I made my life much easier that instead of having to go in the room and then having to find the light, now I go into the room and the light goes on, and then my supper starts cooking and the air conditioner goes on and everything else happens at the same time. So now that became the way to turn on, to do all those 50 things at the same time. So that would obviously create a chumrah, because derech agav, besides the discussions of psik reisha, that which would be weighed in if they were totally under rules of psik reisha. Now this is already b'miskaven. This is you're doing this mamish. Point number one, or another kula which is discussed. If it's, again, we usually think of psik reisha as a chumrah, but it's psik reisha is more makel than the actual malacha. Another place is, we usually assume there's a magen avraham in a few places that were makel for psik reisha for goyim. And goyim don't keep Shabbos anyway. What do we mean? So amira la'akom. This is good. It's a useful resource to know. It's a useful marimakom. That, let's say you left something. You left your fridge. The light's on in your fridge. You left the light on in your fridge. So again, amira la'akom is generally something we try to avoid. Amira la'akom is usher. Okay, there are kulos if it's with tzorech and whatever those going to be, but there's a Magen Avraham which says if you could combine psik reisha and amir lakum, there's no amir lakum for psik reisha. There's no amir lakum for psik reisha. Dahainu, I'm telling him to open the refrigerator door. I'm not telling him to turn on the light. I'm telling him to open the refrigerator door. If he opens the refrigerator, the light goes on, so that's mutter. So now, if you assume that opening the refrigerator is now the new way of turning on the light, then those kulas fall away. I'm doing multiple things in that one ma'isa. So that's an important maramachim. There are poskim that are worried about that. I'll give you another example that's probably closer. I don't know. How does it work? Again, someone has to use a beis hakiseh on Shabbos. And those beis hakiseh, let's say, are now automatic. So now when gets up, obviously when's getting up, they're not getting up because they're not getting up in order to flush the toilet. They're getting up because they want to move on with their life. But when does so, now it's set up that when you get up, it's going to flush. So is that a psik reisha, or is that the way of flushing the toilet at this point? Again, there may be other reasons which will allow you to get up. You don't have to sit there the rest of Shabbos. But that already is a different cheshbon. Okay, that's the chumrah side. The kula side is as follows. There is a, also very relevant, is a gemara in Shabbos Kofav Amid Beis, we are speaking about the Malach of Tzeda. Yashav Echad al Pesach v'lo milehu. Okay, one guy sits down by a door and he didn't fill it up. Another guy comes, sits down next to him, and in that room there's a deer, there's an animal. So the second guy is chayiv for tzeda. So until now, the animal could have still gotten out, and now by the second guy sitting there, that stops the animal from getting out. Yashav Harishon al Pesach. Let's skip a little bit. Yeah. So the Rashba speaks there of the following. That he has a huge chiddush. Let's say a guy is leaving his house and there's an animal inside. And he goes out and is kavin linol ba'ado. He's trying to close the door because a person leaves their house. You know, that's the natural thing to do, is they leave the door, they leave their home and they close the house. Lo ba'ado bo'vad kamar, ela im niskavein af ba'ado, di'ilu tzarech linol ba'ado, mutter af niskavein she'itzvi nitzor b'socho. A shocker. The Rashba somehow allows you to close the door of your house, even though you're also trying to contain the animal inside. So everybody asks on him, they're all the Rishon, the Ram, the Rishon, what is he talking about? How could it be? That's worse than, it's you're machavin mamish. You're machavin for multiple things. Literally, you're machavin. It's the case that I said, there, again, the person, you're not even machavin to it, but you know that the other thing's going to happen, and it's meant to happen. Here, in his own words, he's being machavin. That's a very, very hard thing to understand. And probably the way to understand it would be something unique to Tzeda, and which would probably be unique to Seda. However, there is something more toned down. Another, the Shilta Giborim, right there on that Gemara, on that right there on that Rashba, on that Ran, and Shabbos Kavzayin, which says he doesn't understand that at all. But I mean, the Ran asks, first of all, you'd be mechavin, and second of all, even if not, it's a psik ratio when I'm closing the door. So the Shilta Giborim says something like this. After psikresha oser, hainu shaba oso, maiso david hapsikresha, ena miskavimeno oso, dover heter imo. Avam ba oso hapsikresha, oso oso, gam dover heter imo, viskavim gamu dover heter, oz afilu, of psikresha, umechavim lo gam shari. What in the world is he talking about? That sounds like every psikresha, as long as I'm doing a dover heter with it. So, what's usually explained is that either one of two things, either there's something special going on about Seda, which doesn't sound that way in the Shulti Barim, that there's something special going on here, that sometimes, yes, Tzeda is unique, but it could be in a way which is very relevant for us here as well, that in many of these scenarios, Tzeda is happening not on the Guf HaDavar itself. Normally, again, normally a way to be tzad an animal, is I take a net and I go like that, and I trap the thing actively in my net. So there, I'm doing an action on the animal itself. Here, I'm doing an action on my house, on the door. And, derech agav, something else is happening. So there, maybe the standards of the fact that I'm doing something on my house takes it away, it's removed, it's something so separate. So, that's going to be very, very relevant to a lot of what goes on with technology, in that you're simply doing your own thing, you're walking the streets. And while you're walking the streets, there's I walk on that street, every time I walk by that house, their front lights go on. And even if sometimes it's it could be nechale, it could be low nechale, even if it's nechale, these shittas are saying. For some reason, he's not worried about psik ratio in these cases, because the person is just simply doing their own thing. They're walking, They're not connecting to anything. It's different than where I am dragging the bench, and while I'm dragging the bench, I'm also relating to the bench and also connecting to the ground underneath it. Here I'm walking, I'm just simply walking, innocently walking down the street. I'm closing the door to my house. And Derek Agu, I'm closing the door to my house, all these other things are happening around me. So that is a very important marmakon, which there are poskim who use to our technology system whether we pask in this way, maybe we don't pask in this way, maybe our technology is even further away from that, it's even more lenient than this. At least it's within the same house, here it could happen. I don't know, but that's definitely a marimakom which people talk about, which poskim talk about. Again, assuming that it's not something limited to tzedah, then if it's something broader, because I'm not relating to the gof hadavar, that's a very relevant marimakom. There's another discussion you brought up before.
Let's say, for instance, on something that would be psik l'reisha on a deraisa, could you theoretically use this to get around the psik l'reisha entirely?
Yeah, if these poskim were using that, tzedah would be deraisa, and there are poskim who are using it for that in that way. Halacha l'maisa, again, poskim entertain it. I'm not sure that it's. Because b'shas hachagod will be what to talk about. That's what I'm saying. It's something to think about. It's a worthwhile marimakom to know. That's what we do that way. To ask what you were answering before, how exactly do you define nichole? It's a very relevant question. Do I say there are poskim out there? I believe Rabbi Bleich believes. I can gdolei poskim here. I have a very hard time understanding this. But the following, that if you want the system, is what you're suggesting before, right? Is you're asking, if you want the system, but I don't necessarily want to be on the camera, so is that still considered nichole? Again, most security cameras, you want the system, you want the camera, you want to catch who? You want to catch the ganav. You don't. This is not your way of getting 1,000 selfies throughout. You can do that. You can do that on your own. You're not trying to take pictures of yourself and record them. So, is that the same problem? So there are poskim. There are poskim who are machmirim. I have a very hard time understanding it. I really don't understand why the malacha. As far as I understand, the malacha would be walking in front of the camera. As long as you don't want that, you're not trying to record yourself. I don't see why it would be prohibited. I really have, in terms of, I don't see why that would make a nichole. I don't have any good writers that it was, I know there, I think even Rosh Hechter asked there. Again, I have a very hard time understanding it, but if the system, it appears to me that, Lefiani es daiti, Mamis Lefiani es daiti, that I don't understand why it would be a problem. I know there are definitely major poskim who asked there. In terms of defining that as nichole, and what was I going to say? A variation of the same thing would be, let's say for one person it's nichole and for the other person it's not. Let's say for the balabas it's nichole. He wants to record everybody. So how did the two balabas, if I'm telling him to do that in order that he shows up? So I have a section there, I'm not going to have time to develop it, but how did different people's kavana, how did they affect each other? Does it turn the tone of the balabas, the person walking by? But if you are the balabas, you're the one walking by, you couldn't care less. I don't see. I have a very hard time understanding why that should be nechole.
I mean, related to that, what is the issur that they prohibit setting up the camera? And if that's the case, when does the issur actually...
That's a great question. Oh, that's a great... I should have... Okay, so obviously one question would be, I should have mentioned this, that's important. Two different points. One of them, in terms of setting up, in terms of causing other people. Let's say the system, this happens all the time, the system is either on when it should be off, or off when it's on. I had this when I walked into shul for Kol Nidre, and the alarm in the Aron Kodesh started blaring in front of her. That was Labor Day. I'm not even sure at that point I knew the code. So that was very Labor Day. Or, of course, every Shavuos morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, someone goes into a place they you're not supposed to go. Of course, and it starts blaring. We have an intruder at 3:30 in the morning. That's the best, great way to make friends. So as you turn in terms of another important issue, turning on and off electricity, there is midas, and there you're trying to either turn on and off the system. Turning on and off the system is whatever. Literally turning on, as we spoke about last week, number one, the electricity per se, and gufa, getting the system to work or not work, that was very relevant to what we're talking. Now, in terms of what you're asking, in terms of if I set something up before Shabbos, generally, it would, again, if I set it up before Shabbos, I'm not really doing a grum, I just set something up, and that would generally be okay. That's a classical system. I personally question, I spoke to many Gdolei Yisrael, and most of them thought it would be mutter. I had one posek, a major posek, you heard where I was coming from. This is, it's Mara Makomos, which are written out in the section here. I'm not going to have time to develop this right now. It's in Os Vav. If I cause somebody else to do a malach who doesn't know. I have it sad that if I cause somebody, let's say Moshe has a tshuva. This is an example, but we'll finish in like 5 minutes. We started very late, so we'll finish in a little bit. Well, 25 to we're trying to be done. The Moshe has a tshuva discussing the following. Let's say I put a gun to somebody's head. I say, you better eat tarfus, otherwise I'll kill you. So because of that, he's supposed to do what? He's supposed to eat tarfus. Okay, so did anybody do anything wrong? Why? Because I didn't kill anybody. He ate tarfus because he thought I was going to kill, because he was mutter. I mean, he was Yavav Yaryar. He did exactly what he was supposed to do in that situation. So did anybody do anything wrong? So the answer, that can't be mutter. Don't try, it can't be, there's no way that I don't advise this. So there are going to be certain cases, so let's say somebody said to be Machal Shabbos, otherwise, so there are posts going to say, that's a Malacha Shein Tzvicha Legufa. I didn't do it. I only did it because I want to get this guy out of my face. So the others say, no, what do you mean? And under those circumstances, I want to have kavana to do it. So when do I say I'm doing this because he's making me do it? An example of, let's say my refrigerator is closed. So forgetting about getting a guy, how about I get somebody who doesn't know that, another yid who doesn't know that when you open this door, oh, please do me a favor, go to the fridge and get my whatever. Can I do that? Doesn't sound very nice, but technically it may be mutter. Because for him, it's not, he doesn't know anything. He's totally a misasik. When does his misasik connect to the fact that I'm sending you? Do we say shlichos here, shlichos lachumra? I have some ramakomos here. It's interesting. If you want to look at it, we're going to talk about it later, we can talk about it.
And that wouldn't be
Lifnei Yivir
because he might not know anything.
Exactly. That's what Al Zenu done him. Once, Lifnei Yivir is when he's doing it on purpose. That can't be mutter to be machil somebody tarfus. It doesn't make sense. But when do I say that? Whose kavana is going to be told? That's my setting up the security system. That's what I wondered. If I set something up and I want it, he couldn't care less. But when do I say that? Whose kavana does it work off of? Many of the places, like Gayesha place, as you gave before, you have a Gayesha nursing home, whatever. So, okay, so fine. Then they're setting it up and you're doing it out for them. Right. But if everyone involved is Jews, and from Jews are setting it up for other from Jews, and how does that exactly work? Again, most poskim were matir. Then again, that's typical, but you can see some of the makomos that I have there. The last issue we'll just mention for a second, obviously this is a world, is grama. Grama needs to be talked about, and whether or not that's a very, do I say when a thing's happening directly, things are going to be happening later on, we'll just throw out, there's a Gemara, Gram Kiboy is mutter, it could be differences between certain malachos, there's just one Gemara to think about, there's a Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Samach, which says, Hazorah, we were there speaking about Libav lifts a haruach, I light a fire, and the wind got to it, and I'm pater. They asked Gemara, Zorah is chayev on Shabbos. So the Gemara itself gives multiple terutzim, and one of the terutzim of the Gemara is Shiny Shabbos Melechas Machshavos Asra Torah. So one way of saying that is Zorah, winnowing is its own thing. Okay, so we're not speaking about winnowing. I don't think I've ever done winnowing in my life. So I don't know, well, most of us probably didn't either. So fine. So if we're only speaking about winnowing, then that's nothing to do with us. However, if we're speaking about Melechas Machshavos Asra Torah, therefore, the way a number of Rishonim learned that Gemara to mean the standards for Shabbos may be totally igrama, because Melechas Machshavos Asra Torah gufa, that could affect the igrama and make things be chayiv even otherwise, which would normally be considered grama. Because, but it has a more expansive bedaka, because I plan on something, doing something later on, there are going to be cases which will be asr chayiv, even though they normally wouldn't be. Again, I hope we covered as much as we possibly can in the time. Zil Gemar. There's plenty more to learn. I guess without